Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The name of my sermon today is Our Basis for Faith and Practice. And the purpose of my sermon is to show that the word of God is to be our basis for faith and practice, our rule of faith and duty. Let us turn our Bibles together to Psalm 68:11. The first question is, how did we get God's word? Psalm 68:11 reads, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. So the psalmist says, the Lord gave the word. Stay where you are in Psalms, but I'll add to that, the Apostle Paul tells us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God gave the word. And that quote from Paul was 2 Timothy 3:16. So God gave the word. Now let's find out one of the characteristics of God's word, which he gave. Let's turn to Psalm 119. The longest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119, we'll read verse 160. Psalm 119, verse 160. Here the psalmist says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Notice he says, thy word is true from the beginning. So the psalmist tells us that God's word is true. In Jesus' prayer for his people, he says to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's John 17:17. So God's word is truth. That's the first thing we know now about God's word. In the same psalm, let's read verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. A verse that I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with. It reads, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the psalmist said, calls God's word a lamp, and he calls it a light. So, what is light in the Bible? Let's turn together to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Here Paul says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice he says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Light in the Bible means knowledge. And how is God's word a light unto our feet, or a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path? It teaches us faith and duty. It shows us what we are to do as we go through this life. And, of course, it tells us about our Creator. It gives us knowledge in a dark place, in a dark world. So we receive knowledge from God's Word. Let's turn to Romans 10, just two books before 2 Corinthians. Romans 10. And we'll start with verse 11. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 11. Paul says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." There the Apostle Paul is quoting Isaiah 28:16 and 49:23. Then let's read verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There Paul just quoted Joel 2:32. So Paul is quoting the Old Testament scriptures here. Continuing, verse 14, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So those who do not know of the true God need to have his word to know of him. We have knowledge of the true God through his word. Verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." The gospel means good news. "The gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things." And there the apostle just quoted Isaiah 52:7. So again, he's quoting scripture. Then it says in verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah," that's Isaiah, "saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And there he's quoting Isaiah 53:1. So it's true. The gospel is to be spread to other people. Other people need to have the word of God. It is to be their basis for faith and practice, their rule of faith and duty. Some will accept it, others will reject it. But again, Paul is quoting the scriptures here. In the conclusion, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you were to look up "here" in Webster's 1828 dictionary, to hear can also mean to learn. And what does it mean to learn? To gain knowledge, experience, understanding. So we also learn from the word of God. Faith comes by hearing or learning. And hearing by the word of God. I'm sure all of you know the expression, "I hear you." When you say I hear you, you're not just saying that you heard the person audibly, but you're saying, "I understand what you're saying. I can relate to what you're saying." So again, hearing here refers to knowledge and understanding. So far, we see that God's word is divinely inspired. It is truth. And from God's word, we have knowledge and understanding. Let us turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start with verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 15. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, 2 Timothy 3, again starting with verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." He's talking about the word of God, the scriptures, which he quoted in Romans 10. "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus." So from the scriptures, the word of God, we receive wisdom. Verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." There we have that. God gave the word. "And is profitable for doctrine," that means teaching, "for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So from God's word, we receive wisdom, we receive teaching or doctrine, and we receive instruction. So God's, again, friends, God's word, the scriptures, is to be our basis for faith and practice, our rule of faith and duty. I'd like to, in the same book, go to chapter 2. The question now is, what else are we to do with God's word? We've seen that we receive instruction from it, teaching, wisdom. From it we gain knowledge and understanding, learning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. And we'll find out at the end of the verse, what is he to study? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? That is the word of God. God's word is true from the beginning. Jesus says, thy word is truth. So we are to take the word of God and we are to study it. We don't want it just sitting on the shelf. We are to study it. Let's turn now to Acts 17. And how often are we to study it? Acts chapter 17. We'll start with verse 10. Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 10. Before I read from Acts, I'll mention that Jesus tells us, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Paul tells us to study God's word. Jesus says, search the scriptures. That's John 5:39. So we are to study God's word. We are to search it. And it says in Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. That means the people of Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? These people are called noble. More noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. We are to have ready minds, friends. Our minds are to be ready to hear what is preached to us, and then to find out if what has been preached is true. It says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. How often? Daily. Whether those things were so. So we are to study the scriptures. We are to search them. How often? Daily. There is to be a daily study of the word of God. Stay where you are in the book of Acts. When we study the word of God, it's very important that we compare scripture with scripture. We don't want to come to a make a whole doctrine out of just one verse. We must compare scripture with scripture. The prophet Isaiah says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He says again, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's Isaiah 28, verses 10 and 13. So we are to, again, friends, compare scripture with scripture when we study God's word, when we search it. But there's something else I want to focus on in Acts 17. It says in verse 11, about the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Friends, who was preaching to these people, the Bereans? Paul. And how did the Bereans respond to Paul's preaching? They turned around and searched the scriptures to make sure whether those things were so, whether the things Paul said to them were true. Friends, if it was important to the Bereans to test Paul, to double check Paul by searching the scriptures. How important is it for us today to do the same thing? When we hear another man preach the word, or whether we hear another man preach, period, how important is it for us to search the scriptures and make sure those things are so? We must not think that just because a man holds a certain position that anything he says is right. I wouldn't care if it's your pastor, your head elder, or even your general conference president. Now, I'm not specifically referring to Brother Stewart, Pastor Muir, or Elder Wilson. I wouldn't care if it's your local conference president. Again, I'm not referring specifically to Brother Crespo, but nonetheless, friends, when any man stands behind the pulpit and he tells you something that contradicts the Word of God, friends, you must go with the Word of God. That's one area where we must not be afraid. We must not be afraid to differ, even with those in leadership positions or any other person who says something contrary to God's word. We must always go with the word of God. As Isaiah says it, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak, what? Not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. So it's very important, especially in this day and age, that we search the scriptures, that we study them, and that we compare scripture to scripture and compare or test any man's preaching by the scriptures. I want to take us now to the Old Testament. Actually, let us turn to the book of Hebrews, then we'll go to the Old Testament. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. So again, so far we have seen that God's word is divinely inspired. It's truth. From it we learn, we gain knowledge, understanding, wisdom, instruction, teaching. We are to search it and study it daily. We are to test all things by it. I forgot to mention that Paul tells us, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. What does it mean to hold fast? To hold fast is to not forget. And again, how do we prove all things? By the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. The next question is there power in God's word? Hebrews 4:12. It reads, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Friends, when you share God's word, or even when you study it for yourself, when you study God's word for yourself, don't be surprised if you find something in your own life that does not correspond with God. It will read your heart, it'll read your mind. And if you share God's word with other people, it'll do the same thing to them. You might see someone shaking. If that happens, don't you worry. That conviction is good for the person. It's happened to me, I can tell you that. God's word has power in it. Let's look up another verse for this. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Jeremiah 23:29. It reads, is not my word like as a fire? What does fire do, friends? Exactly, it burns. Is not my word like a fire? Remember, it's likened earlier to a sword. Now it's likened to fire. It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Have you ever done that? When I was a kid, I used to like looking at the insides of rocks, the different colors and all, the crystals in them. I used to take hammers and break them open. My older brother taught me to do that. And God's word here is likened to a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't have wanted to put my own hand under the hammer. Very common. We think of people, person putting something together, maybe he hits his finger with a hammer. It's not a comfortable feeling. But God's word has power in it. It's like unto fire, like unto a hammer, friends. Have you ever found yourself? I want to share with you something I've learned in my own life. Have you ever found yourself busy defending your denomination or defending someone else's teaching or someone's preaching? Or have you ever found yourself busy refuting other people's interpretations of Scripture? Friends, most of the time, the better thing to do is to simply show the truth from the Word of God. God's Word has power in it. And when people hear that word, it's like a two-edged sword. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer. It'll pound on them. It'll burn. It'll cut. It'll cut asunder, spiritually, the heart. So God's word has power. And it is to be our basis. It is to be our basis for faith and practice. Our rule, faith and duty. In closing, I want to turn to two more places. Let's start with John 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 67 and 68. Actually, let's start with verse 66. John chapter 6, starting with verse 66. It reads, from that time many of his disciples, meaning Jesus' disciples, went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. God's word tells us how we can have eternal life. Peter knew there was nowhere else to go. Many times in my own life, I've been tempted to turn away. But I would always remember, where will I go? The words of life are right here. The truth is right here. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Let us now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 23. It reads, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. God's words are incorruptible, friends, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And Peter there is quoting Isaiah 40, verse 6. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, God's word lives and abides forever. God's word endures forever. And when you make the word of God your basis for faith and practice, your rule of faith and duty, you also can endure forever. Jesus tells us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we leave this worship service today, we ask for your Spirit to continue to comfort, guide, and teach us. We ask that you will continue to reveal the Scriptures to us as we search them. And we pray that you'll continue to give us a desire to search your Scriptures and to know them more and to know you more. And we thank you so much for, again, giving us your Scriptures, for the angels guarding us, and for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort, guide, and teach us. And we thank you so much and praise you for the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus, and that in him we have the hope of eternal salvation. These things we pray in his precious name. Amen.